this morning, please. Revelation 1. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter 1. All right, verse number 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, to Sardis, to Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, John, behold, I'm alive forevermore. Yeah. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Bless this holy book, Lord. Yes. Thy name I pray. You be seated. In verse number 19, it encompasses all the elements of time. Things which thou hast seen, past, things which are, present, and the things which shall be hereafter, future. Past, present, and future. You notice he identifies himself as the Alpha and the Omega. Simply the first and last letter of the Greek alphabet, but encompassing all knowledge, all that's ever happened or ever will happen. Yeah. Nothing can happen apart from Almighty God. He upholdeth all things. Nothing exists outside of the Almighty. And so if you'll notice that he addresses to seven churches. I've been to, and these seven churches are in what's called modern day Turkey, the head of the old Ottoman Empire. And Turkey, of course, is the place we're talking about here that has seven churches. I went to every one of them. And six of them are nothing in the world more than waste. They're just waste. There's nothing there. But one of them, and that is Smyrna, has a church. And Smyrna also has believers about it. Maybe hundreds and hundreds of believers. And they come to that church. It is modern day Izmir, Turkey. And this church is famous for this fact, that it was the church of Polycarp, who was a direct disciple of the Apostle John. And Polycarp, therefore, gives us a direct connection with the apostles, because John is the apostle that wrote the book of Revelation. The word of God starts, at the beginning was God. In the beginning, God created. And it finishes the canon of Scripture in Revelation chapter number 22. All 66 books, it finishes by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, Christos. 888 is his number, which means new beginning, new beginning, new beginning. And here in verse number 9, he said, I, John, saw your brother. And I, John, also am your brother. And he was on the isle that is called Patmos in verse number 9. I've been to Patmos, been there one time. And it was quite a remarkable place. There's a cave set aside at Patmos. And if you go inside that cave, it has been, of course, turned into a church. But if you look at the walls, the rock walls inside the cave at Patmos, you'll see centuries of smoke that has collected and built up a patina over all these years, because for a long time they've been worshiping there at Patmos. Patmos is in the Aegean Sea. And therefore in the Aegean Sea is where the Word of God is closed out, the last book of the canon of Scripture, 90-95 AD, somewhere around there, by the Apostle John. He's the one, and the Lord Jesus said that to some of you, one of you standing here, will not see death till you see the Son of Man coming. And the Apostle John certainly fit that, because he said in Revelation 19, I heaven opened, behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Righteousness that judge and make. He saw him come. But if you notice here in the book of Revelation, as I mentioned to you before, the Lamb of God is the focal point. The Lamb of God mentioned 28 times in this book. Now, my dear friend, if God says one time, take note. If he says it twice, stand to attention. And we got 28 times, you better pay attention to what the Almighty's trying to say. But he starts it with Christ in his glory. Here he starts with this one glorified, dressed in glory. And the Bible says, I, John, fell at his feet. Now, John fell at the feet of angels, and we find Daniel falling at the feet of angels. And they say, get up, I'm one of your fellow servants, I'm likened to you, but not here. When he fell at the feet of this one in Revelation chapter number 1, he stayed there because he was falling before Almighty God. Amen. That's why. And he issues to him what he wants him to understand. He says, I stand in the midst of the 7 golden candlesticks. Note carefully. He's standing in the midst of them when the Lamb of God is revealed. On later in chapter number 4 and 5, he's in the midst of nothing. He stands apart from his creation and begins to send judgment down upon it. But here he is in the midst of his church. And the reason for that is because we are his body. We have a relationship with him that pagans do not have. Don't ever let them take that from you. You ought to be so mad today you can't stand it, because they're calling your mother a birthing person. It's time to get mad. It's time to get angry. It's time to get stirred up over garbage like that, where they're trying to brainwash you and steal. What are we going to have? Birthing Mother Day instead of Mother's Day? Or Birthing Parent Day? Or Birthing Person Day instead of Mother's Day? You mothers in this house this morning, you should be very angry for this kind of ignorant brainwashing. But he stands in the midst of his church. And the Bible said there's 7 golden candlesticks. These candlesticks represent the light of God. In the Old Testament, inside the holy place, we had a 7 golden candlesticks, which we refer to as the menorah. It was God's light shining across the table of showbread. To the left of it was the altar of incense. Behind the altar of incense was the curtain, beautiful curtain that separated the holy from the holy of holies. So the purpose of the 7 golden candlesticks is to cast light. It's to illumine. It's to make it possible for you to see where to go, what to hear, who you are. And the Lord Jesus said to them in Revelation chapter number 1, you're about to lose that candlestick. You're about to lose that witness. My friend, the greatest thing we can do on this earth is to witness as to who Jesus Christ is. Amen. The greatest thing that this church or any church will ever do is not social reform. That's okay in its sense, but that's not what we're here for. We are here to preach Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Amen. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what finishes this book. And so He stands in their midst. And my friend, standing in their midst, he wants to have this fellowship, this communion, this camaraderie with them that he doesn't have with anything else. Does he have it with you? When he made Adam and walked with him in the cool of the day, God sought him out. God sought Adam. Adam didn't seek out God. God sought him out. And they walked and they fellowshiped together. God can fellowship with a man, but he can't fellowship with an angel. He can't fellowship with a cherubim or a seraphim, but he can do fellowship with you, because you've been made in his image. There's something about you that's different from everything else. And here he stands in the midst of his church. Keep that in mind. That's important. He comes down and he says, I want to walk in your midst. But the Bible tells us that he finds fault in them. And when you get over here to the fault of the 7 churches of Asia Minor, you'll find in every single church they had their problems. Ephesus is a beautiful place. And it's the first church. He said, you've left your first love. And my friend, that's all he could say about Ephesus. But that was enough.
Because to leave your first love is to lose your identity. It's to lose who you are and what you're living for and what life is about. The Bible said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, all thy being. The more you know him, the more you love him. If you're not in love with him this morning, it's because a wall has come between you and God. It's because Satan has filled your mind full of lies. It's because he's drawn a dark curtain down between you and the Lord. The more you know him, the more you'll love him. You walk with him, more you'll love him. He's a good God. Amen. Amen. Polycarp, who was one of our witnesses in the past, had this to say about him when they executed him. He died a martyr's death. Here's what Polycarp said. 86 years I've served him. He's done me no wrong. How then can I blaspheme my king and savior? You threaten me with a fire that burns for a season. After a little while it's quenched, but you are ignorant of the fire of everlasting punishment that is prepared for the wicked. Polycarp was burned at the stake and pierced with a spear for refusing to burn incense to the Roman emperor. On his farewell, he said, I bless you, Father, for judging me worthy of this hour, so that in the company of the martyrs, I may share the cup of Christ. My goodness gracious, what a saint, what a preacher, what a minister of Christ, what a connection with the apostles themselves. The Apostle John. So now we still have a church at Smyrna. And you think that's quite remarkable? Because it's Polycarp's church. It's still there. It'll be there till the gates of hell cannot come against it. They can't shut it. I want to tell you something. The church in this country's dying. But the bride of Christ is more alive than she's ever been. It's always good to draw a line. It's always good to fly, my dear friend, your colors and mark who you are. There's a separation taking place in this bit. Yes, sir, there is. Between that true church and this false piece of garbage that calls itself the church of God. When we come into the tribulation, when we come into the book of Revelation, God bless your soul. Some of you look shocked to death. I don't know what you've been listening to. Yeah, this is not a feel-good church. If you think... I'm sorry. I don't want to be mean. I really don't. I don't want. It's not a feel-good church. This is where we preach the Word of God. When we get to the book of Revelation, chapter number 13, we have three things that show up. One of them is Satan. The other is the Antichrist. Then there's the false prophet. So what is Satan? Satan is that ambivalent spirit that goes about to seek you and destroy you. And so who is the Antichrist? He's living in your midst right now. He's right ready to stand up. And so who is the false prophet, preacher? It's all these buildings out here that call themselves Christians. Like our brother on television this morning is talking about when this Roe versus Wade thing was passed by the Supreme Court. Good for them. God bless them. Amen. But some of the churches in America, oh, how upset they got. Oh, my, they wanted you to understand how upset they got. Not because because the Supreme Court said, here's what they said. You have no constitutional right to kill your baby. So we're going to send it back to the states. And you that scream about democracy all the time, how many of them talk about democracy, 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 democracy? And you're screaming and yelling, and then when you are faced with democracy, you scream like a stuck pig. Amen. Amen. And so, my friend, this is what's going on right now. We have a church in this country that gets upset because they can't kill their babies anymore. Separate yourself from that crowd. They are no different. They are no different than to me. That, my friend, the worst cultist on the face of this earth, that's not my brother and sister. I don't hate them, but they're not part of me. And I want it to be understood and known clearly. So he stands in the midst of his church. And why does he do that? Because judgment begins at the church of God. It starts with us. It starts with man. He stands there as a prophet. He died as a prophet. He is a priest at the right hand of the Father. And then he's coming King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, he allows the church to see him in his glory. Amen. Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. Why did he say that? Because he knew there's more to it than a fiery bush. He knew it was more to it than a river turning to blood. He knew there was more to it than a death angel passing through Egypt at midnight. He knew that the God he served was far above and beyond all that. He wanted to see his glory. When we study the Bible, we realize here that there's a contrast to be had between this one that stands in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks and the Lamb of God. And that contrast is for you to see, because one of them is glorified. The Son of God is glorified. But he first came as the Lamb of God. He wants you to understand that even his power, his glory, his might, his majesty, he speaks with the voice of many waters. His feet are fine brass. There's none like him. Yet he came first as the suffering Lamb of God. Can you compare the two? To man, the God of glory was taken and hung up on a cross. The God of glory shed his precious blood for you. Let me tell you something, folks. You'll never know how far down he came until you finally go up and see heaven for yourself. You'll never understand the depth of the condescension down to who we are as mere human beings until you see where he came from. So we have the Lamb of God. Now, why is it so important, preacher? Because the Lamb of God is the one who judges the world. As I preached to you a few weeks ago, 28 times he's mentioned the Bible. And the Lord Jesus said, all power has been given to me in heaven and in earth. All judgment has been given to me in heaven and in earth. It's almost as if the Father pulled back, gave an olive branch, said, I'm done with it. It's in your hands now, son. You bought this, you paid for it, you purchased it, it's yours. You do the judging, and he does. Make no mistake about it. So what does he do, preacher? He judges the gods of the earth. That's how he starts off. He likes to judge your gods. Who are you worshiping today? Money? Be careful, you may lose every dime of it. Are you worship today? What motivates your life? What do you get up in the mornings and think about? That's what we're talking about. What moves your heart? Where's your soul today? Does the name of Jesus move your heart? Does it stir your soul? Does it reach down inside of you and take hold of something that's real? Or is it just another word? And for some of you, God bless your soul. Some of you, it's a byword. It's a word used in jest or you know, in use it as a curse word and what have you. But he judged the gods. In Revelation chapter number 13, he judges the gods. See, who are the gods, preacher? Well, let me tell you something. When he comes to judge the gods, people may not be able to see it. But I'm going to tell you, when this principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, when they clash against Michael and his angels, against the powers of heaven, you may not see it with the natural eye, but the battle that rages there will be larger than anything Russia or NATO or the United States or any nuclear power on this earth could ever bring up. This power is spiritual. One angel of God could destroy 185,000 Sennacherib's troops. One angel. So we're talking about power right now. Right now. He that letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. You understand that? 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. You're watching the dike though. You're watching the gate as it begins to open. He's letting you see just enough so you can understand what's happening. I was listening to the BBC this morning. British Broadcasting Corporation. By the way, and I know they're liberal, but by the way, if you want to get some news, get out of America. You want to get the news? Go over there and let them tell you what they see over here. Amen. And they were talking about the civil war that's coming in America. Did you hear this? The BBC is talking about the civil war that's coming in America. They're saying, well, it looks like the experiment in America. And I understand they've got their motive for saying that. They don't get excited on July the 4th over there. But they're looking and they say the experiment, which is the United States of America, it looks to us is about to come to an end. And the country will divide. That it has a division right down the middle. And they when they said that, I thought to myself, you got it right. You got it right, because I ain't going over there where they are to become one of them. And most of them are not going to come over where we are to come become who we are. You see, we go back to where it started in 1776. Have you seen George Washington? You know, his horse is standing next to him and he's down on his knee and he's praying and talking to the Father. That's the George Washington. Abraham Lincoln, 16th President of the United States. He first gave the Emancipation Proclamation. Finally, the 13th Amendment gave freedom to the slaves in this country. Well, did you tore down Honest Abe the other day? Yes, one of the big colleges. I forget which one it is. Tore him down. And he's the man that initiated the Emancipation Proclamation. Are you getting anything here today? So what are they doing, preacher? They are destroying your identity. That's why we have birthing people. Birthing people instead of mothers and fathers. They want to mold you. Do you realize that these drag queens are really going out in full force now? They're going to the libraries, the schools, and the little mamas and the daddies, oh, they think it's so cute. Oh, my. Because a man comes in there dressed like a woman. Now, he's not just reading stories to them. He's a groomer. You know what a groomer is? A groomer is one that he's recruiting into the sodomy, into the filth, into the vileness of it. It would be one thing if the homosexual community stayed to themselves. You've always had them. There's nothing to do about that. But it's quite another matter when they begin to actively recruit your children. And that's what's going on now. That's what's happening. Watch your kids, folks. Watch them. Watch your children. Watch what they bring home. Watch what they do. And I've said it 1,000 times. I'll say it again today. I don't care who it makes mad. If I had the authority to do it, the public school system would cease to exist. Immediately. Immediately. The public school system got a lot of good teachers in them. We'd give them a job. But the public school system would cease immediately. It's nothing but a piece of garbage to brainwash your children and destroy their faith in Christ. Amen. So watch them, Mom and Daddy. Watch them. Watch what they're getting. All right. Here's some of the gods. Osiris, he was the god of life. Bacchus, did you know that Bacchus is the god of wine? Did you know that they would walk through the streets and they would sing and they would shout and they'd fall over each other drunk, worshiping Bacchus? Do you know that Molech, this is Solomon's gift to Israel. Molech is the one who burned the little babies alive and they screamed as they rose. I can't imagine. I can't imagine a man who saw the glory of God come into the temple of God. I can't imagine how he saw that and then turned around and let that come into Israel. God help us. He's the worst enigma I can understand the Bible. Then there's Athena. She's the goddess of war and wisdom. These are the things that motivate people. This is what they're living for. For example, when the Apostle Paul was standing on Mars Hill, and I've been to Mars Hill. It's in Athens, Greece. It's right down from the Acropolis. Acropolis simply means a high point of the city. Polis in Greek means city. And so the Acropolis means a high point of police or the high point of the city. And you stand at Mars Hill, you look up to the high place, and there they built the Parthenon. The Parthenon housed Athena, the virgin. And to them, and a virgin means altogether different than a virgin does to you. All you have to do is read a little Gnostic literature, and you'll find out what you're talking about. But let's go back to Mars Hill. I stood at Mars Hill, and I looked up, and there's the Acropolis. There's the Parthenon. I thought to myself, man, this is something else, because there's a lot of people in this world that love to be standing right where I'm standing, looking up at that firsthand. Then I left Mars Hill and I went on top of the Acropolis. I went up to the Parthenon and I walked around and looked at this thing. I thought to myself, this is quite remarkable because this represents the intelligentsia of the day, the philosophical. Philosophical. Did you know that Mars Hill is where philosophy, religion, and law, they were debated day in and day out? Listen to what Paul said when he came to Mars Hill. Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship." Let me tell you about him. To paraphrase it. Let me tell you about him. In other words, let me declare him unto you. Let me tell you, there's no unknown gods in my life. There's nothing out there that I have to worry about whether I'm going to make it mad or not. If I'm walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm okay. How about you? All right.
Now, we'll come down to this. This will be toward the end of my message this morning. The Lamb of God earned the right to open these seals, trumpets, vials. He earned that right. He earned the right to judge the gods of the world. He's going to come judge them. You know, I like to think about things. He shows up and he says, "I've come out." Do your best shot. And he comes out and he faces them face on. Yeah. It takes some gall on their part to face the Son of God, because they knew he rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father. Yeah. And when they're looking at the Lord Jesus, they're looking at God. Amen. Amen. Yeah. And then he has earned the right to break the power of the satanic entity. Let me warn you this morning. If you don't get anything else from my message today, let me warn you. Please listen to me. Please listen to me. If you belong to one of these mainline Protestant so-called Christian denominations, and your church is cozying up to abortion, and you are progressive and all the rest of the term for it, please get out of that place. Amen. Well, maybe if I stay here. No, don't stay there. Get out of it. Run as hard as you can run. And get away from that thing. Because not only you, but your family, your children, your wife, your husband, your father, mother, and all the rest of them, like your family, are connected to that place because of who you are. He broke that power. Then he sealed the doom of the lost. He did. He did. Hide us from the face of the Lamb. Hide us from him. And finally, he earned the right to save to the uttermost. In weakness he died. In weakness he gave himself. Save to the uttermost. That's what it says in Hebrews. He's able to save to the uttermost. To telestai. He's able to save completely, absolutely. No shortage, missing nothing. All and complete. When God saved your soul, he started a work in you. He will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He saved your soul. Your spirit was born again. And now he's going to save your life. Some of you lead your life saved. I'm awfully afraid that there's an awful lot of Christians that I've known, I'll use the word lightly, they got fire insurance and that's good enough for them. Amen. Amen. They got fire insurance and that's good enough, because they don't want to deny hell, but they sure don't want to go there. And so they've prayed the sinner's prayer somewhere. Let me tell you something. There's no greater life than to live for Christ. Amen. The worst day I ever had as a Christian is 1,000 times better than the best day I ever had as a pagan. Amen. Able to save to the uttermost. I'm not what I was a year ago. I'm not what I was 10 years ago. I'm not what I was yesterday. His work is continuous. Amen. Day by day. Have you been there? Have you been to Calvary? Have you been there? Folks, you live in a country that if it continues in the direction it's headed, it's going to split. And I don't know what's going to be left in its wake, but it's going to split. That might be a good thing, because the sides will be chosen. The areas that you live in will be either pagan or at least have a Christian influence. But the country is going to split, it looks to me like, unless something happens. We'll see. I don't know. That's not what I want. I'd like to see America as a nation once again, a nation where a Christian has the right to preach and teach and worship God without being vilified or without losing your job, you know, without some kind of a moniker hung on you and demonize you. I hope that happens. I'd like to see it come back. I know it'll never be what it was in 1956, 10-year-old boy. I know that. 10-year-old kids today get shot to death when they go to school. Something wrong in America. 6 or 7 teenagers up there in New York. Teenagers. Just, well, this is good. Look at this. Look at that old man over there. Let's have a little fun. So they went over there and started beating him and kicking him, stomping him, shoving him around. And then they left. They had a good time. Next day he died. Kids didn't have time like that when I was a kid. Didn't have that kind of time. Father, bless your word. Thank you for the time we have together. I pray, Lord, for anybody in this house, Lord, that simply does not know you. They've been filled up with feel-good religion. Feel good. They feel real good about themselves. Feel real good about their special place. They feel real good about your purpose in their life. They've been trained. They've been programmed to believe that you're there to bless them and give to them and open doors for them and make them happy. And that as far as their relationship with you and it has to do with sin and repentance, it doesn't exist. I pray for them. I pray for them in Jesus' name. Yes. Let's stand up this morning. What do we got, brother? All of them.